This is the Fighting the Good Fight podcast, defending taxpayers and solving their tax problems with your host, Patricia Gentile. Patricia Gentile is a taxpayer defense attorney, CPA, the founder of New England Tax Relief, and Patricia L. Gentile Coaching. With 40 years of IRS expertise and experience, she has successfully defended and resolved difficult IRS situations for hundreds of taxpayers. Patricia coaches tax professionals to confidently identify their client's IRS problem and create a successful resolution plan for them. As a fierce advocate, a creative strategist, and solution finder, fighting the good fight with Patricia Gentile is both her passion and purpose to help tax professionals successfully resolve their clients' tax problems.
Welcome to the Fighting the Good Fight podcast. I'm your host, Patricia Gentile, and my guest today is Irina Bobrova. She is the Chief Operating Officer of Pitbull Tax Software. Her credentials are really extraordinary. Of course, she has a Master's of Science in Taxation. She is an enrolled agent. But she has a couple other credentials that I find very extraordinary, very impressive. There's a CAA, and I'll have her explain what that is. And she's also an NTPI fellow. So I just want to welcome Irina, and thank you for taking the time to come on.
Thank you so much, Patricia. Good morning. And I am very happy to be here. And yes, I'll explain what those credentials means. Certifying acceptance agent, it's a license issued by the IRS to people who can certify passports for foreign individuals when they need to apply for their ITIN numbers. So individual tax identification number. So if, for example, a foreign real estate investor invests into rental properties here in the United States, they need to file their returns in the US, and that's why they need ITIN numbers. So usually ITIN applications are sent to the IRS, and the foreign passport has to be attached to that application in original. So a lot of people are not willing to send their original passports to the IRS in the mail, because it can cost. So that's why they hire services of certifying acceptance agent, where we can just certify passport and give it back to the applicant right away. So, and another credential that I have, it's NTPI fellowship, National Tax Practice Institute program. It's a three-level program run by National Association of Enrolled Agents. It's educational tax resolution program that I completed back in 2014. At that time, it was a three-year program. Each year had a 3 days extensive tax resolution training, and I loved it. And I recommend to all my fellow EAs and other tax resolution professionals, whether they're CPAs or attorneys.
Oh, impressive. I love that. Irina can talk about pretty much anything regarding the tax resolution business. She is a practitioner. She not just a chief operating officer of Pitbull Tax Software. She is a practitioner. She does tax resolution cases. And I've asked her on here today to discuss pretty much the first step when you are as a tax professional and you're taking on a representation case, or you're taking on a new client that wants at least some evaluation, some review of their tax situation at the time they have tax problems. And it's called IRS transcripts. Irina's going to talk to us about how to read, analyze, and actually monetize this aspect of the tax resolution profession. So, Irina, of course, we start with the IRS transcript types. So the floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Patricia. So yes, when client comes to us at first, we listen to their story. We do intake, and then when they're ready to move to the next level, they want to resolve their IRS problem. First thing first, we always have to pull IRS transcripts. It's a big mistake if you do not do that, because by pulling transcripts, first of all, you know how much they actually owe. A client oftentimes come to us and they say, "Well, I owe about $150,000." When you pull transcripts, they actually owe around $250,000
Right.
because they never account for accrual of interest and penalties.
Right.
And nowadays, the interest rate is 8%. It's accrued daily. So if the client doesn't do anything and they hide under the radar for like 5, 6 years, the debt is doubled. If they hide for longer, that debt can triple. So I never believe what my client tell me they owe. I always say, "Okay, thank you." But I only believe what IRS transcripts say. So let's first dive into what different types of transcript mean and why are why they have different types of transcripts. So first type of transcripts I want to talk about is a tax return transcript. Every time taxpayer files a return, the IRS generates tax return transcript. Basically, it contains most of the line items that original return has. So tax return transcripts are needed when clients apply for student loans or for a mortgage or for some financing. So usually lenders, they ask for the last 2 years of tax return transcripts in order to verify their income. And sometimes tax return transcripts are needed when clients apply for some financial help from the state or from the local government. So tax return transcripts will be generated only if taxpayer filed the original return. If they didn't file or the IRS filed SFR for them, substitute for return, tax return transcripts will not be generated. And this type of transcript is available only for the last 4 years. So there is a limitation here.
I just as an interjection here, I have found that I need to also request tax return transcripts when a lot of clients are doing their own return and you want a copy of that return and you're not sure if that's the return that was accurately filed. They'll just print it off of their software system. Another reason why I'll do a tax return transcript is because they could have a tax professional, a tax preparer, do the return, but they don't have a copy. I don't know why at times you say, well, go and ask for a copy from that preparer, but they don't use them anymore. The person's out of business. Maybe they left on bad terms with them, you know. And so there's a lot of good reasons for the tax return transcript. But I like what you mentioned when it came to those applications, financial applications you were discussing. It never occurred to me to present that or advise clients to present that. You know, you're always thinking you need a copy of your return, a copy of the actual return filed. So that's good advice. Thank you.
No problem, Patricia. And also, tax return transcripts are used whenever you need to file an amendment. So, if something is wrong on a return and you need to fix it, and the client doesn't have a copy, yes, you can refer to the tax return transcript and make adjustments based on that. Because let's say the IRS computers, they fix some math errors. So amended returns should be done based on the adjusted numbers by the IRS, not by what the client presented to you in their copy. So yes, amendments are done based on the tax return transcript. The next type of transcripts, and this is type where tax resolution professionals basically live in it, and this is account transcripts. This is one of the most detailed transcript types because it shows not only when return was filed, but it shows all the transaction history, what happened after that. When, for example, tax return was processed, when the IRS assessed interest and penalties, when the client hired a representative, when they requested installment agreement, when it was terminated, if they filed an offer in compromise or collection due process hearing, all history will be indicated, will be listed on the account transcripts. That's why this is where we take the most data when it comes to analysis, because we can calculate collection statute expiration dates from there. We can see how much they actually owe. We can see all the accruals. So this is the most detailed transcript. And it doesn't have any limits. So you can request it for any period where client actually filed a tax return. So no limitations on account transcripts. And it's needed in order to see what has happened from the moment the tax return has been filed. Or if return was not filed, we can see that return was not filed. We can maybe see that substitute for return has been filed and so on and so forth. So no limitations on account transcripts, and this is the most important for tax resolution professionals. The next type is record of account. Simply put, it's a combination of the previous two. It's a combination of tax return transcript and account transcript. With one caveat, it's not updated as often as account transcript itself. For that reason, I never ever pull a record of account. Next transcript type is wage and income transcripts. Wage and income transcript is all information reported to the IRS by third parties, like employers, they report W-2s, organizations, they report 1099s for their contractors, independent contractors. Banks report 1098s. Educational organizations, they report student loan interest. So all that information is accumulated by the IRS and they put into one transcript. It's called wage and income transcript. We use it for preparation of tax returns because when client come to us, first we need to put them into compliance, in the filing compliance. Why people owe money to the IRS? Because majority of them are non-filers. They just put it on a back burner that, okay, I need to file return this year, next year. And then they come like 4 or 5 years that they didn't file returns. They come to us to solve their IRS problems because now they're starting getting notices from the IRS and they are very serious ones. And what we do, we need to file those returns. And most likely, our clients don't have data. So here comes to the rescue wage and income transcript. And all the information that we need, most of that will be on the that transcript. It has limitations for last 10 years, so you cannot pull transcripts, for example, for 2010 nowadays. But for the previous 10 years, absolutely you can. So this is where we use it a lot during tax preparation phase of any resolution case. And tax preparers, if even they don't do tax resolution, they still use wage and income transcript extensively. The next type is wage and income summary transcript. So basically what it does, it summarizes all your income into categories. For example, if the client has 10 W-2s in 1 year, you will see one line item with all W-2s combined. So let's say they made 100,000 over these different 10 W-2s. When it comes very handy, this transcript type is when you have, for example, a trader or a person who sells a lot of stocks, you can determine how much profit they made on the sale of stocks. The next type is IRS has a transcript called verification of non-filing letter. Basically, it's just a simple one-page paragraph, paragraph on a transcript saying the client didn't file return for, let's say, 2022. Why do you need that? A lot of times, when taxpayers file for financial help, let's say they apply for food stamps or assisted living help, so the local government or state government requests them to get them verification of non-filing letters. And these letters can be obtained anytime after June 15th of each year, and you can get it for the previous 4 years. So if the return was not filed, you will get a simple one-page transcript saying the client didn't file return for, let's say, 2022. But if the client did file a return when you request this verification of non-filing, instead you will get tax return transcript. The next type is kind of complicated, and a lot of uncertainty amongst tax professional is separate assessment transcript. So it looks like an account transcript, and actually in the title you will see account transcript, but then in a smaller font underneath you will see separate assessment. What does that mean? When clients file joint return, married filing joint, and later on something happens that IRS has to split the account into two. For example, one of the spouses decides to file for bankruptcy, the other one did not, and they have IRS liability. So the IRS is obligated to split the account in half. Not in half, sometimes it doesn't have to be 50-50 split. Very often it's a different split. And they will create a separate assessment transcript for a taxpayer and separate assessment transcript for spouse. And the tax liability will be split. In IRS jargon, it's called mirroring of the account. So they use mirroring process, but it only happens to married filing joint couples, where you can get separate assessment transcript. So what are the reasons where your client can get separate assessment? For example, one client or one of the spouses decides to file for an offering compromise and it is accepted. So the IRS will relieve him from his joint liability, and they will create a separate assessment transcript for him and separate assessment transcripts for his spouse. So that's where it is done. Or, for example, there is a restitution based assessment. So let's say one of the spouses is indicted and he's paying some restitution. So the account will be split again in two, and that's where separate assessment comes into play. Very often, if a taxpayer doesn't know that separate assessment transcript exists, they pull transcripts and they say, "Well, my client doesn't owe anything. How come they come to me and they're saying that they received notices from the IRS?" Well, we ask them, "Did you pull separate assessment transcript?" "No, I didn't. I can't." Well, first of all, you need to put on your power of attorney for the tax matters that you can pull. You are authorized to pull separate assessment transcripts. It has to be separate line item, 1040, separate assessment. Otherwise, you will not be able to request this transcript type. And very often, clients realize, okay, this is what happened. My ex-spouse, let's say we were married 5 years ago, he filed for bankruptcy. And now I ended up with a large majority of the debt as a my responsibility, and he got off the hook. So this is why separate assessment transcripts is very important. And in any 2848 that I submit in my practice or 8821, we always put 1040 separate assessment in addition to income 1040 a return. So this is a separate assessment transcript. The next type is civil penalty transcript. Also super important and very often missed. So what is civil penalty? When the client is assessed with a civil penalty, like 5471 non-filing or 5472 non-filing international forms, if your client, for example, is a shareholder in a foreign corporation they are obligated to include 5471 on their return. Or it's a foreign corporation that needs to file returns in the US, they need to file 5472s. So if that form is not filed, the IRS assesses very, very large penalties, $10,000, $25,000, and this is insane. So sometimes a return has like 5,000 in liability, but the penalty is five times of that. So this is a very, very important. And when the IRS does assess those penalties, it show up on the civil penalty transcript. Also, trust fund recovery penalty. So when employer does not pay trust fund recovery, trust fund taxes, the taxes that they withheld from their employees, and they didn't send it to the IRS, with 941 filings, that's where IRS starts going after responsible persons. Responsible persons are usually the owners or sometimes accountants. They are not even on the not even the shareholders or partners in the company, but if they are the ones filing payroll tax returns and responsible for remittance of money to the IRS, they can be assessed with trust fund recovery penalty. And this trust fund recovery penalty, it's a civil penalty as well, and it will show up on the civil penalty transcript. So again, very often people like, I pulled all the transcripts and my client owes zero. How come we are getting all these notices? Did you pull civil penalty transcript? No, I didn't. Well, pull it and you'll see where the debt is. So this is super important. And again, on all my 2848s or 8821s, I include three line items: 1040 income tax, 1040 separate assessment, and civil penalty. Civil penalty, you don't have to indicate each form, just put civil penalty, and indicate the periods that you want to be getting from the IRS. So this is very important, and sometimes you can be shocked what you see there. And the last but not the least type of tax transcripts is the most detailed transcript you can find ever. It's called Tax Modé transcript. TXMODA, pronounced as Tax Modé, Tax Mod sometimes. But this type of transcripts you cannot obtain electronically. Not through TDS with IRS website, not through Pitbull Tax, not through any other ISP. You cannot get Tax Modé transcript online. Why the hype? Why people like, oh, I need Tax Modé transcripts? Why the hype? The hype is because this type of transcripts is the only one that has three dates on it. The CSAT, collection statute expiration date, ASAT, assessment statute expiration date, and RSAT, refund statute expiration date. So these three dates are on Tax Modé transcript. But I think the hype is about nothing because TICTA, the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, they audited the Tax Modés in the IRS. And they found out that in over 60% of cases they audited, the dates were wrong.
Oh.
So to rely on this is just not going to be accurate representation in over
Ouch.
60%. That's a lot. What Tax Modé also has, it has a history of all notices sent to the taxpayer. It has all the transaction codes and amounts that you will see on the account transcripts as well. But in order to read Tax Modé, you have to be a really, really good expert, because if you've ever seen Tax Modé transcripts, it's a gibberish, code after code after code. You need to have a decoder in order to understand. The IRS
Right.
website has a decoder for Taxmedia where each code is explained, because otherwise you will be lost. But the best way, without pulling my hair out, to request Taxmedia transcript is get a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act request, which you can submit online, and you will get the Taxmedia transcript, well, audit paper, work papers, or whatever you put in your FOIA request. What exactly do you need? It will be sent to you within 30 days, and on paper, unfortunately, yes, and you will have to analyze that manually.
When did you say you like to use this transcript? Because it does sound a little
audit
cumbersome.
Audit reconsideration.
Okay. Oh, audit reconsideration. Great idea.
Yes, because when people come to you and they have audit in the past and they never showed up on that audit, or they hired someone who didn't produce any results, and they were assessed, like they disallowed all Schedule C expenses, for example, and now you want to present some expenses and to reduce the tax liability. So you do audit reconsideration, and if that doesn't work, you can go to offering compromise doubt as to liability and present your case right there. But with audit reconsideration, yes, I usually do FOIA request. I want to see all the work papers, what the examiner did, and what they followed, what procedures. Because sometimes it's a violation of procedures, and you can get a much better result with that finding. So amongst all the transcript types, I would concentrate on account transcripts. So if you really, really want to learn how to analyze the transcripts properly, open account transcripts and see how you can gather what is in there. You will see the period it is for, you will see the current balance, you will see all the accruals up to the date of pulling transcripts, you will see the filing status, how they filed, if they are self-employed individual, you will see the self-employed income and tax assessed, you will see when the return was filed, when it was processed actually, and the entire history of transactions that happened after that, the assessment of interest and penalties, filing of request for installment agreement, termination of installment agreements, filing of CDP hearings, and so on and so forth. So for some people, it can be one page of account transcript. I've had clients who had 5-6 pages of account transcripts, because each, for example, if they are on installment payment for 6 years, each payment is one line. It's transaction code that payment is applied to the return. So you will see a lot of pages. But learn how to analyze account transcript. This is the most important type in our job as a tax resolution professional. And now let's talk about how you can pull transcripts. So you don't have to be designated professional. So even tax preparers can pull IRS transcripts. So what do you need? Well, first of all, you need to have an e-file application submitted with the IRS. And this is something you can do online. So if you open tax resolution practice or tax preparation office, for example, just this year, you can go to IRS website and submit e-file application. So even if you are not planning to file tax returns in your career, for example, you are an attorney and say, I'm not going to do tax prep. But in order to get access to transcripts, you are required to get EFIN number, Electronic Filing Identification Number, EFIN. And to get EFIN, it's done through submitting e-file application. So this is something that has to be done online. Once you get EFIN, you can move to the next step. You need to create IDME account, and I'm sure everybody now knows how to create IDME account. So everywhere you go on IRS website that prompts you to log into your e-services account or e-file application, there is always going to be a link how to sign in or create your IDMe account. And IDMe account you can use not only for the IRS, but for other agencies as well. So Circular 230 practitioners, automatically you are given a chance to get access to transcript delivery system. This is a system that allows you to get transcripts from the IRS, TDS or transcript delivery system. So Circular 230 practitioners are CPAs, enrolled agents, and attorneys. So all these three categories have a right to TDS, to have access to the TDS, regardless, as long as you have EFIN, Electronic Filing Identification Number. However, if you're a tax preparer, you have one more little hoop to jump through. You need to e-file at least 5 tax returns in your career, in your lifetime. It doesn't matter what types of returns, individual, business, gift, it doesn't matter. You need to e-file at least 5 returns in your career, and then you will be able to get access to e-services. So e-services with transcript delivery system, this is where you can get IRS transcripts. And for a lot of tax resolution firms that we work with at Pitbull Tax Software, where they handle volumes of tax resolution cases, and they hire non-designated professionals like support staff, paralegals, people or admins who work directly with clients and who also do administrative stuff for the tax resolution practice. So all these users can get access to TDS as well. So you don't have to be designated at all. As long as a person who has EFIN, the company, they will create delegated users under their own account. So you can go to your e-file application and open a tab for authorized users. And there you can put anyone in your firm as delegated user. And like I said, you just go to your e-file application, open authorized users tab, and enter that person's name, social, and their email, and they can open their own e-services account, call the IRS, request transcripts into their secure mailbox, and basically save you time on doing that on your own.
Can I ask you something here? If you're a delegate, calls the IRS, are they calling Practitioner Priority Service and giving your CAF number?
No, delegated users, they will have to get their own CAF number.
Ah, okay.
Yes, right. And you will put them on your 8821.
Yeah.
So that delegated user will be on 8821 and they call Practitioner Priority Service and request transcripts. So something urgent comes up. Let's say, for example, a client comes to us that has a bank levy expiring in 3 days. So I need transcripts urgent. I cannot wait for electronic submission until the IRS processes through CAF. I need transcripts right away. So my delegated user can call the IRS and request transcripts, and it will be placed in their secure mailbox. So we'll get right away what IRS has on them. So we don't have to wait.
Right. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. So yes, IRS stopped faxing return transcripts or wage and income or account transcripts a long time ago. So for the last 5 years, we only received transcripts through Secure Mailbox or SOR, Secure Object Repository. This is the other fancy name for the secure mailbox. So whenever you call the IRS, you have to learn what to ask. For example, you need transcripts and you need wage and income transcript. In order to prepare returns, for example, you need to put client into compliance and you need to prepare some tax returns. You need to ask for unmasked wage and income transcripts. Because if you don't say that word, they will send you masked. Masked meaning all the secure information will be dot dot dot. So you won't see anything. You will see last first four letters of the name. You won't see EINs of the employers who file, let's say, W-2s and so on and so forth. So when you ask for unmasked transcripts, then you will get fully unredacted transcript. Don't use the word redacted, unredacted. They're not trained based on that. And some people will understand what it is, but a lot of new trainees, they will be like, huh, what? What do you need? They are trained on the word unmasked. So I would like to request unmasked wage and income transcript for the last 10 years, please. And that's what you get. All other transcript types will be masked automatically. Don't bother asking for unmasked account transcript. It doesn't exist. You will not get it. All account transcripts are masked nowadays. So only wage and income transcript can be unmasked. So also with secure mailbox, be very careful because whatever the IRS places in your secure mailbox doesn't stay there forever. So whenever you open the transcript that you received from IRS, it will be deleted automatically within 3 days. So if you didn't save it to your computer, you will have to call back again if you need it again. If you didn't open that requested transcript yet, it will stay there for 30 days. But as soon as you open it, 3 days after, it will be deleted. That's why secure mailbox is not your permanent storage for transcript. If you use Pitbull Tax, we automatically pull all your transcripts from secure mailbox and we store them forever.
We hope you are enjoying this episode of the Fighting the Good Fight podcast with our guest, Irina Bobrova, Chief Operating Officer of Pitbull Tax Software. We will present the second half of this informative discussion with Irina on the next edition of the Fighting the Good Fight podcast. Make sure you don't miss a moment by simply subscribing on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We are also excited to announce that the Fighting the Good Fight podcast is now available on YouTube. Just search Fighting the Good Fight podcast with Patricia Gentile, and while you're there, give us a like. The Fighting the Good Fight podcast is a Park City Productions presentation. Learn more at Park City Productions 06604 on Facebook or Instagram. I'm Patricia Gentile, and we'll see you next time.